This afternoon, I have in our studio Dr. Régent Hébert, running candidate for the Parti Québécois. Everyone knows that Mr. Hébert is a doctor, and he is here to talk about his way he might and see if he's elected. And I'm quite sure it's that a number of voters will be inclined to vote for Mr. Hébert. So we will talk about a little aspect of his political platform, which goes to the economy situation, to health situation. So we're going to start, Doctor, if you like, with the actual economic crisis, and how do you think your government will be able to not solve, but to put some incentive into this situation, which will put all the citizens at ease in regards with, for example, their pension, their saving, their home mortgage, or even their bank account. So some number of citizens are just wondering what is going to be happening in the future. So can you briefly explain to us exactly what is your party intend to do?
So good afternoon. I'm very pleased to be here and to speak about my program and the program of the Parti Québécois. For economy, I'm very concerned about the way the federal government is dealing with this situation, because I think if we don't do what we have to do, we will be in trouble. So anyway, we have at the Parti Québécois a very big, strong plan for dealing with this situation. And remember that Madame Marois was the Minister of Finance in the last crisis, and we performed very well at that moment in 2001. So she has experience in dealing with economic crisis, and our plan, I'm sure, will be appropriate for Quebec. The first of all is we should use all our lever to be able to deal with the crisis, and the strongest lever is the Caisse de dépôt et placement du Québec, which is a very big institution with a lot of money, and we should use this Caisse de dépôt to create an investment funding to help our industry to pass through the crisis. And we intend to do that, and we intend to have a regional investment funding to be able to help our local industry. In the township area, we have a very big problem with the manufacturing industry. We lost over the last year, we lost nearly 2,000 jobs in Sherbrooke, in the Sherbrooke area. And so we want to support the manufacturing industry in investing in this sector by finding new market in Canada, new market elsewhere in the world, but also in using the equipment to be more productive, and also to better train the employees in order to help them to adjust to the new equipment and to better face the modernization of the industry. We want to focus also on simple persons and family. We want to give $200 to all people who benefits from the tax credit for the sale tax. So it's a one-time help to help them to pass through the crisis. And we want also to support people who are dealing with a mortgage. And we want to cover 20% of the first $5,000 interest for people having mortgage in order to pass through the crisis. Because the important is not only to support the economy, but the importance is to support people, to support the family, to go through that crisis.
So, well, you do have quite an approach, so you intend to deal with the economic situation. Now, my next question is to deal with the enterprise, okay, such as the small and medium industries, and what do you intend to do immediately after your government is in power? I heard something that you want to eliminate the tax on capital. Yep. By the year 2000. Before the year 2010,
yeah.
You do have more incentive there, right?
Yeah, that's the one of the plan. But as I said, you know, we have to support this industry in this bad time to be able to for those industry to be stronger after the crisis. And that's this preparation that is very important. And you know, modernization of their production or of their equipment is critical for being competitive with other countries in the world, especially China, for example. If we increase the productivity, if we increase our innovation, we can compete with China. I'm sure that our employees are could be much more productive if the equipment is modern, could be much more productive than the Chinese, and so we can compete at the international level with the other country, India and Chinese, which are actually our stronger competitors.
Right. So in other words, you will intend to simplify the reglementation in the industries, so they will have less bureaucracy or paperwork, so they will be more concentrated in producing goods at, of course, at the cheaper price possible, so they could compete with the import, for example, a country you mentioned, just China, which is actually a number of medium-sized industries especially are looking for, because as you know, it is pretty hard to compete. If you just look at the labor cost, it's pretty hard for them to compete. But technology today, I presume technology could bring around and turn around this if they have the government behind them.
And you know, if you look at the program the liberals have put forward over the last 2 or 3 years, it's all bureaucratics. You know, the Pacte de l'Emploi, for example, and also the investment funding that they've been put forward. It's very complicated to get access to money for these programs. There is a lot of criteria, a lot of paper to fill out, and so it's very, very, very difficult to get access to the money. So we want to simplify those programs in order to help the industry to face the crisis.
Face the crisis, right. Yeah. When you run a small company, you don't have all the time at your hand or disposal to go through hours and hours of paperwork. You are interested in running your business and to make sure that goods are manufactured and goes out. Now, in regards with leadership in innovation and research, what do your government, or if you are elected, of course, will have a different approach or a similar approach, or do you intend to modify the existing approach? What do you intend to do?
You know, I know very, very well this this domain, because I was director of the Canadian Institute of Aging, so a federal agency. And what we see over the last 5 or 6 years is a kind of plateau in the funding for research in Quebec. And worse than that, the leadership of the research priority is actually in the federal agency, the Foundation for Innovation, for example, the Canadian Institute for Health Research. They have the leadership, and the provinces are following the programs those institutions are putting forward. I think the needs in Quebec are very different from the other province and from the federal priority, and we have to get back our leadership in stating the priorities for Quebec, the priorities for our universities, our researchers in the university, and also the priorities for the development and research in the industry. So the Parti Québécois will increase the funding for the three provincial agency in health, in arts, and in engineering. And we will also get back the leadership for stating the priorities for research.
I see. Now, for example, in regards with the professional program to have access further training for a professional worker, I read somewhere that you're in your political platform, you intend to make sure that every Quebec citizen, if they choose so, they will have access to further training.
Yeah, it's important for people already employed, but also for our young students, for example, to be able, if they don't want to go to the college or to the university, to be able to get professional training in order to be a mechanician or to work in a garage or to work on to work on building. And so we need those kind of people. You know, it's very very difficult to find a plumber, an electrician, and we need those kind of people to be able to serve and to work to get a job. And so it's important to insist on professional. And those people who go into those professional training, they have to bridge with the technical training if they decide to go further, to go to the college, for example. At the moment, it's a dead end, and so you have to get back to the high school in order to be able to go through the college. So we have to make those kind of bridging in order to support the students who wants to go further in technical training or even at the university.
Right. So in other words, your government intend to stress in regards with the professional training, like you just mentioned, plumber, electrician, to carpenter,
yeah.
Auto mechanic, for example. So you're not just only looking with our young graduate from high school, for example, will not only be looking at becoming a lawyer or
yeah.
or a doctor. Well, of course, doctor, because
we need doctors, you know,
so badly.
But it's not everybody that can go that
right.
there and that have the, you know, have the interest in being a doctor, and so we have to be very well equilibrated between professional training and university training. I think it's important for a nation.
One of the worry later on, we'll come to that, is training of nurse. We'll come to that at the end, you know, further on in a program, but. Training of nurse seems to be a big worry about a lot of voters. Next question is to agriculture.
Yeah.
Now, as you know, the Reading, St. Francis Reading, it is over 60% of the economy comes from agriculture. So it's a big part of the economy. And there's more restriction in regards with agriculture. Also, a number of farm owners do worry what is going to happen to their farm because they don't have anyone who might take over, family-wise will take over the farm. So there's a lot of questions arising in regards with the agriculture. Also, goods, as you know, are imported from almost every country. There are more regulation in Quebec than there is, for example, in countries in South America. And so it is a number of agriculture thinks it's unfair and things has to be changed. So what actually your political party intend to do to help out first? There's so many taxes now in regards with farming. What your political party intend to do first thing when they are elected in Quebec?
You know, over the last month, I've been meeting with many farmers, and so those people are very concerned and anxious over what's gonna happen with the stabilization insurance. You know, the Financière Agricole and the Pronovo Commission was recommending a big change, but we don't know. They don't know what's gonna happen with this insurance, which is critical for supporting farmers in bad times. I think, as you said, that the production cost is rising for the farmers, and the sale cost they got for their pork, their beef, their milk is stable or decreasing because of an unfair competition of products that comes from USA or Brazil, for example, and who do not fulfill the same criteria about utilization of hormones or antibiotics and so on. So those products that enter into Canada and in Quebec at a lower price with a lower quality also are not even identified in the grocery store. So first of all, we have to label the Quebec products in order to inform the Quebecers that this product is safe, this product is conform to many criteria, many norms, and this product, even if it's a little more expensive is safer for health, and it's better for helping the farming economy. Also, we have many very good products, especially in our area. You know, our cheese, for example, are very good. And you see, at the last crisis, the last listeriose crisis, the government get rid of all these cheese, and this was disastrous for the producer, but also for the distributors. You know, many were get bankrupt because of this strategy, and it was a bad strategy. We get a listeriose crisis in 2002, and we dealt with that very well. And at that moment, the Parti Québécois government set up a $5 million program for helping the producer to conform with criteria in order to prevent another crisis. When the Liberals get into the government, they get rid of the $5 million. So we did nothing with the producer to increase the criteria and the safety of their products, and then we got a listeriose crisis. So instead of getting rid of that products, you know, we should help the producer to prevent such crisis in the future, to improve the safety of these very interesting products.
I agree with you, because being a doctor yourself, it is much easier to prevent
and cheaper
than to cure.
Yeah.
And that applies to anything, just not to only health situation,
exactly.
But to anything. Because, for example, my wife eats lots of grapes, and she always asking me, where does it come from? Well, sometimes it comes from, I don't want to name countries, but we don't have grapes in Quebec. I mean,
no,
we don't. So it has to come from somewhere. And she knows that TNT has been banned, and not TNT, there's a pesticide there, which is DDT,
yeah.
TNT, everything will be
blowing
up, right, it will explode, sorry. There is countries, matter of fact, even today, are using that pesticide for grapes and number of fruits and vegetables.
Look at the blueberries, raspberries, strawberries. You know, when you buy those kind of small fruits from elsewhere, they got preservative into them, and we don't even know what kind of poisoning products they are using for preserving those little fruits. And this compete with our own producers, who cannot use those kind of preservation. So it's unfair, and I think it doesn't help the farmers industry.
Right, and like you mentioned, labeling should be done that
exactly.
Customer knows exactly how that small fruit, for example, and we do consume quite a lot of those small fruits, if any, what kind of preservative was used and pesticide was used, because everybody's concerned about the health. So, and as I say, later on we'll be talking about this, because by coincidence you happen to be a doctor, so you know, the number of also in the agriculture part of it is we have in writing of St. Francis, a number of forests, and some agriculture are inclined, like they're doing in Europe, to look at the forest as a farm, not just as trees standing up ready to be cut when they're, you know, a certain size. So they're quite concerned of preserving the forest, to harvest the forest, and not just by, you know, just cutting everything down and make a few dollars at one, then they have to wait 30, 40, 50 years. So what your government intend to do, or if elected, of course, in regards with farm forest?
You know, the forest in the townships are probably the best forest in Quebec because of the variety of different species. And most of the forest is private in the townships, and our producer in this area are facing a very unfair competition with the industry that exploit the public forest in Quebec. And the cost for exploiting our public forest is very low, and it doesn't even cover the cost for regenerating the forest. So it's an unfair competition, and so we have to
to restore a right price for exploiting the public forest in order to support our private producer to be competitive on the market. Second, we have to help those producers to modernize their forest techniques in order to regenerate better the forest and to get more benefits from the forest. And third, we have to not only ship abroad our wood, but we have to transform the wood here in Quebec by doing furniture, by doing the poutrelle for building houses, and so we're gonna have more benefits from our woods than shipping the crude wood abroad at a very lower price. And also, you know, I'm very concerned. I see that there is a building from the government, you know, in we are building in the Sherbrooke downtown, building for Emploi Québec. It's an organization that is very concerned with jobs, and they are building it with steel, and not with wood. Why, when we build the public buildings, we cannot, you know, we can, I think, insist on using woods first. Woods is very ecologic. And woods is a very, very nice material for building, even, you know, a 4 or 5 story building. And so we should insist on getting the priority for woods in building public buildings, for helping our industry first, and not import steel from abroad for building.
I will not disagree with you. Now, as you know, everyone is concerned about the aspect of reducing the number of carbon monoxide, which we produce by various ways, and in particular with cars, and also quite a number of individual, even companies, small, medium, and large company, are concerned in reducing the pollution they have in the past, because it was not really a concern in the past, but over years, quite a number, it's a surprising, quite a number of company and individual are concerned. What is in your electoral platform in that aspect? What do you tend to do when elected in Quebec?
First of all, you know, we have with our party the last president of the Green Party, Scott McKay, who is very involved in helping the party to be much more green, greener than ever, I must say. So we intend to reduce the targets for the gaz à effet de serre by 20%. Till 2020, and it's the target of the European Union. So we want to align with this target, and we want to reduce by 20% our dependency to the petroleum by fostering on public transportation, for example. And we have a very, very interesting plan for the public transportation in the metropole, but also for our riding, for example. I want to improve the public transportation in Sherbrooke by giving more support to the city of Sherbrooke to improve the lines and the frequency of the buses, but also for people living in Coatescook, in Compton, in Waterville. They have only a bus 3 times a day to get to Sherbrooke, and it costs $15 for a return ticket. So it's too expensive. Mm-hmm. And if we want people to use the public transportation instead of their own car, we have to be much more competitive in increasing the number of buses, and also reducing the price. So it's very important for us to insist and to prioritize the public transportation in the future.
It is one of your priority, actually, in particular for the riding of St. Francis.
Exactly.
Because this is even for a youth who wants to attend college, for example, in Sherbrooke, or just Alexander Gulf, for example, and It is not sometime buses are not available at bus route, or unless they use the school bus route. There is adult education, which at night there is no bus route. So there's a lot of possibility for, if there were sufficient bus route available in the riding, so people, because everyone knows that the economy is based on the accessibility, and accessibility, we are in Canada, and particularly in Quebec, a huge province, which is about 7.5 times the size of France. We're only slightly over 7 million in Quebec, and while I live in Paris, I think we're about 58 million, so quite a difference. So to establish a bus route in France, for example, if you have 58 million people, then in Quebec, where there's only 7.5 people, it is quite a challenge, quite different. But accessibility with a cost of rising.
And especially for seniors, not only for young people, but, you know, public transportation for seniors is very, is not optimal in Sherbrooke because of, you know, the gratuity for students at the university and college. All the lines are designed for young people, not for seniors. So seniors have to use the adapted transportation. Why not adapt the regular transportation instead of putting forward the adapted transportation? So it's very important for seniors because sometimes they are isolated. They do not have a car. So if we want to improve and foster the social participation of seniors, we have to improve the access for public transportation.
May I ask one thing? Years ago, I remember at before two hospitals were closed down in Sherbrooke, Saint-Vincent, and the, of course, the Sherbrooke Hospital. Issue seems to be so far away in those days. We're not talking 50 years ago. We're talking, you know, a few years back. And at that time, I recall the city of Sherbrooke intend to implement a shuttle bus free for people, citizens, from downtown to the CHU. And in those days, there was a private bus transportation.
Yeah, St. Louis, I think. No,
right,
Saint
it was
Louis.
Charging a dollar.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
After 6 o'clock, I mean, you were stuck at the CHU to take a taxi back home. And is that something, especially for senior, we'll look into it, that it would be part of, there is a bus, I think it's bus number 54, which commute student from the medical field to between the CHU and the Hotel Dieu and I think the university. Well,
you know, it's a very interesting suggestion.
Right.
I think that, yeah.
It's been asked. It's been asked a number of times to me, and I know it's off our subject, but I couldn't resist it.
Okay.
Because you've
that's
been
a, that's an interesting suggestion. You know, I get it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now we'll go back to exactly you just mentioned to intensify the collective transport in between in public transportation and also in regards with covoiturage.
Yeah.
And it is something which in 2008 people are looking forward. But the question is the incentive. If there was an incentive in covoiturage, tax benefit or whatever, it is something which could be implemented quite a lot, especially in ridings such as St. Francis, because our riding is pretty large, as you know. Well, my next question will be dealing with our water.
Yeah.
Over the year, I've been broadcasting program dealing with pollution, blue algae. It seems that there is blue algae, I mean, everywhere. Water is a natural resource. What do you tend to do for this particular writing of St. Francis to protect or to help out cleaning up Massawippi River, the lake, for example, St. Francis River? Does your party has something very specific in their mind?
You know, first of all, the Parti Québécois set up the water policy, but unfortunately, there was no action plan that was set up by the Liberals since then. So, what we want to do is to have an action plan for implementing the water policy, for preserving our water for from commercialization, for example, for exporting our water abroad. And we want also to help the cities in modernizing their
water system.
Water system, because it was set up, 20 years ago by Marcel Léger, Minister of Environment at that time. But all the water system needs modernization, and we want also to make sure that our norms are respected. And what we intend to do is to increase the number of inspectors that could, visit the industries in order to be sure that the norms are respected. We have very good norms at the moment, but they are not respected because there is no inspector that checked that the norms are, the criteria are fulfilled or not. So we intend to invest to increase the number of inspectors in order to really be sure that the norms for the environment, for the water is respected everywhere in Quebec. And this is going to be very important for our lakes and our river. I'm living on the Massawippi Lake myself, and I'm very concerned about that. And you know what? We have to not blame the farmers, but help them in order to preserve the 10 meters from the rivers and brooks and so on and so forth. So we have to help them in order to blame them. It's not a good strategy to blame them because they are facing very important problems and they need help in order to because they love nature. When you are a farmer, you love nature. You don't want to destroy the nature. And if they got help, they will collaborate, I'm sure.
And it's not easy to change of way of doing things because our farmers are been, farming their farms for generations. So it's not that easy to change, in within a couple of years, a whole aspect of doing farming. And it is true what you just mentioned, that farmer loves the farm. That's why they're farmer. Otherwise, they'll be elsewhere.
And they love the nature.
They won't be on the farm.
Exactly.
Okay, since we don't have that much time left, I would like to ask you about parents and children. What do you have in store, or what your government will have in store in regards to helping out the parents and nursing, of course, as you know, children below 6 years old are entitled if there is space available, and it seems to be there is always short of space in nursing. Children nursery.
Yeah.
What do you have in your platform?
You know, the nursery policy has been set up by Madame Marois, and it's a very interesting program that is, imitated by many provinces in Canada. And this program have allowed women to be able to get jobs and to work and to improve the family revenue. And so it's very important to increase the number of places in nursery, and our commitment is very clear: one child, one place in nursery. And we want also not only that to help when there is a birth, to help the family better, and to also help the family for beginning school, because it's much expensive at the moment to send a child at school, with many expenses. So we want to help the family, and we want also to focus on work-family conciliation by setting, for example, some holidays for family activities, because it's very important for parents to be there when it counts for their children. So that's the kind of action we intend to put forward for Parti Québécois government.
And I read somewhere that your party will make more access to property ownership.
Yeah.
So
we have two action in that. For people with low revenue, we want to increase the number of social lodging HLM and the program Axelogy, which is very important for building new social lodgings. And we want also to support, as I said at the beginning of this interview, to support young families facing with mortgage at the moment. And during the crisis, we really want to help them to pay for the interest. So we will cover 20% of the first $5,000 interest for their mortgage in order to help them to continue keeping their house and keeping up with the mortgage.
I'd like to remind our listener, we are talking with Dr. Régent Hébert, running candidate for the Parti Québécois for the riding of Saint-François or Saint Francis riding. And we will now, if you don't mind, we will now talking about your particular field, your expertise in the health situation. And it is one of the worry besides the economy, one of the biggest worries so far for almost every eligible voter, because most of them in one way or another had to depend on services and trying to find a doctor, for example, or going to a hospital for or getting an appointment. So we will start with, could you briefly mention, your party comes up with a doctor for everyone.
Yeah.
How this will work?
First of all, I should say that health is the major reason why I'm jumping into politics. You know, I'm dean of the Faculty of Medicine at the moment. I've been involved in geriatric medicine, care for seniors. I've been involved in the political debate for years, you know, trying to convince the politics to adjust the healthcare system for the aging of the population. And I'm a bit fed up, you know, because they are not doing what I'm suggesting. So I'm going there myself. My father always said that if you want a good job, you have to do it by yourself. So I'm going into politics for that. And first thing we have to do is to stop the opening to the private sector in health, because, you know, in a period of shortage of nurses and physicians, if you open up to the private sector, every nurse, every physician who will go into the private will not be in the public system for caring for seniors, for caring for the most vulnerable people in our society. And, you know, the market for the private is in Montreal. So those doctors, those nurses who will go into the private will go to the Montreal and not to our area and to other regions of Quebec. So that's the first important step we have to do. So the first day of when I will be a deputy, I will close that route that the Liberals have opened up to the private system. Second, you know, the problems are in the hospital, you know, the waiting list and people waiting for a bed in nursing homes, in hospitals, and where it's much more expensive and inappropriate. But the solutions are not in the hospital. The solutions are in the primary care. The solution is to get access to a family physician. If you got a family physician who can do prevention, do health promotion, do follow you up for chronic diseases, you don't need to go in the emergency room, and you're going to prevent, again, prevention is better than cure. You're going to prevent hospitalization by having a much more highest quality follow-up for your chronic conditions. How are we going to do that? By prioritizing family physician. We're going to have, over the next 4 years, 3,000 students coming out from the School of Medicine. If half of those students are going to family physician, we're going to have enough family physician to ensure that every citizens have access to a family physician in 4 year time. But how could we foster students to go into family physician? By improving the work condition for family physician, and we are doing that by the Groupe de Médecins de Famille, the GMF. The GMF is a structure with 5 to 10 family physician, and they're gonna support for secretariat, nurses, respiratory therapist, social worker, and so on and so forth. So this kind of groups is much more attractive for young students than practicing alone with no support in your private cabinet, you know. So those group of the médecins de famille are critical in order to valorize, to value the work of the family physician. Also, we have to foster and to stimulate to get incentives for family physician to follow up patients. At the moment, you know, young family physician have to work a number of hours at the emergency room, a number of hours at the hospital, a number of hours in nursing home, and there is no incentive for following patients. And that's the critical aspect, is to have incentive for follow patients on a long-term basis. And it's very important. And if we do that, not only we will attract more students into family medicine, but also we will increase the number of patients that are followed up on a long-term basis by the family physician. And then we are going to get access of every people in Quebec to family medicine. I think it's critical. I said that for years at the moment, and I'm very concerned that we are not doing that the wrong way. And you know, it's a vicious circle. If you invest into the hospital, you increase the problem because you don't invest into family medicine. The other way, the other thing we have to prioritize is home care for seniors. You know, at the moment, the government of Quebec is supporting only 15% of needs in home care. I don't say that 100% is the objective, but between 15% and 100%, there is a compromise somewhere. And I think 40% would be a good compromise. But to do that, we have to invest $500 million in home care, not 60 million, not 30 million like we did over the last years. 500 million, but by doing that, it's an investment, because you're going to decrease the pressure for nursing homes, for example, who are much more expensive than home care, and also you're going to decrease the number of patients waiting in the hospital for a place in nursing home because they have no other option. They have to go in nursing home because there is no services at home. And also, you are putting a lot of pressure by not having sufficient home care on caregivers, you right. know, on wives, on daughters who are supporting their frail older
right.
relatives.
That was going to ask you, doctor. Do you intend to see that there will be some form of financial support, because in a family, a daughter or a son or a wife or a husband has to quit his job. It does happen, and I've seen it many times. They have to quit the job to take care of a loved one. And besides being a great loss as far as revenue is concerned, there is no facility to help them out to get a break. We'll say a week, half a year to go somewhere, because they don't have nobody to take care, and sometimes this is a big problem. Do you have an approach in that aspect?
I think we have to change the way we fund for supporting frail older people. You know, we have the mean at the moment, and I've been very active in that topic, because I developed a rating scale for setting the needs of older people, setting the disability of older people, and this rating scale is at the moment used in the system for home care and for admission to nursing home. And with this rating scale, we have a system that can evaluate the needs of people and what's the cost of the services that have to be delivered for that people. So My idea is to set up what I call an autonomy support funding that is based on the needs, and then you can use this funding for getting services from the CLSC or public nursing home. So it's in kind way of using this funding, or if you prefer to get the funding, get the money, and then buy your services to your private facilities, for example, to the economic, social economy agency, community agency, or to compensate your caregiver for the work she is doing. I say she because most of them are women.
It's 80%.
And so it's another way of seeing funding for supporting frail the people, and that way is much more fair. It's fairer, and also take into account the very, very good work that is done by informal caregivers.
Right, and especially, I mean, it's their loved one. So, I mean, they quite...
And it doesn't cost more, right. You know, you just change the way of using the money in order to get people the empowerment of what they want to do for their lovers or what they want to do for themselves.
Right.
And so if they want to have public services, that's fair. If they want to get services from their caregivers, that's fair enough also. Mm-hmm. And so we have to support those people also who did that choice.
Right, because there is a worry. I mean, you know, baby boomers are coming.
Yeah.
And they'll be there by a great number. I mean, 20% increase in, you know, in a very short period. So it means that they will depend on resources we don't have all the resources. I mean, hospital nurses and doctors are agreeing, you know, doing their
best.
But,
you know, baby boomers are healthier than the previous generation. Yeah. And also, they will prefer to stay at home instead of going to nursing home.
Right.
So that's a cultural change also.
Now we are coming close to the closing time of this interview, Dr. Hébert. I would like to ask you, for closing this interview, why eligible voter should vote for you on December 8th?
You know, over the last 30 years, I've been very much involved into care for the older people and into supporting older people. And what I said I would be doing, I did it. I did it by setting the Institute of Geriatrics in Sherbrooke. I did it by setting up the research center in aging, which is the biggest research center on aging in Canada. And I did it also by being Dean of Medicine. I have dream for Sherbrooke. I have dream for Quebec, and I want to realize those dreams. And so I need the support of every voters in Saint-François to give me the means of realizing those dreams, realizing a fairer society, and to improve the healthcare system, to improve not only the care for older people, but also the place older people, the place seniors get into the society. I've been the president of the public consultation on seniors last year, and I was very disappointed by the response of the government. Now I really want that the recommendation I did for setting up a national policy for seniors in this country be applied, and I will work very hard for this policy that is needed for not only Saint-François riding, but for the Quebec, the entire Quebec. And I hope that the voters will recognize that I have the energy, the competence to be a good representative in Quebec for Saint-François.
Well, Dr. Hébert, I thank you for this interview, and I'm quite sure a lot of the eligible voters understand more what is your political platform, and they will have to make the decision on December 8th. So thank you for coming down to the studio there, Dr. Hébert.
It was my pleasure.